Today is August 26th, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit us at macobserver.com/roundup.
The way it gets covered in all corners of the media these days, business always seems so personal, until the parties involved kiss and make up. We get to tell you this week how two haters made out all over the tech industry.
And in this week's Context Machine Fodder, we will also talk about Microsoft's Zune Player and AOL's brand new movie download service.
Apple Computer and Creative Technology on Wednesday announced a settlement in their ongoing cross-litigation with the news that Apple will pay a one-time fee of $100 million U.S. for a license to use Creative's patent for an MP3 player interface. However, Apple can recoup a portion of that money if Creative successfully licenses its patent to other companies. Creative also announced that it has joined Apple's Made for iPod program and will introduce its own iPod accessories later this year. The latest volley in Apple and Creative's back-and-forth lawsuits came in early June, when Apple alleged that Creative was infringing on three of its patents that related to the use of icons as well as displaying and editing data. In May, Creative launched its first lawsuit by claiming that Apple was infringing on its Zen patent. Apple responded later that month with a countersuit.
And on Thursday, TMO's Brad Cook looked into some of the issues surrounding the settlement. The publicized terms are these. Apple is paying $100 million to Creative for the use of its patented MP3 player technology, but it could recoup much of that money if Creative can obtain licensing fees from other companies. And meanwhile, Creative will produce iPod accessories, but it didn't say if it will also stop making its own MP3 players, which is, to say the least, an unusual agreement.
So let's move on to two quick stories about Apple competitors. We'll get back to all of this in the Context Machine. AOL has beaten Apple to the market with a movie download service. On Thursday, the company announced that it now offers full-length feature movie downloads. AOL has deals with 20th Century Fox, Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, Universal Pictures, and Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. Movies from the AOL video portal are priced between $10 and $20 per download and are encoded in the Windows media format and viewable on Windows-based PCs and compatible portable players. As on iTunes, TV shows are priced at $2. Apple has yet to launch an iTunes movie download service, but conventional wisdom says it will be released before the end of the year.
On the hardware side of the digital media battleground, a filing with the Federal Communications Commission has revealed prototype images of Microsoft's Zune Media Player. It's apparently made by Toshiba and has the words "Hello from Seattle" on the back, which to me sounds strikingly similar to "Designed by Apple in California." The current expectation is that the device will come with wireless networking, an FM tuner, 30-gigabyte hard drive, and a 3-inch LCD and a USB port.
Lastly in the news, an Internet Access Task Force has been created by the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, to look into concerns that broadband Internet providers may block or slow down content from some websites if there isn't some form of, net neutrality protection. The FTC plans to evaluate the need for net neutrality legislation, along with the possible consequences. No need to go into detail here. I discussed net neutrality with Dave Hamilton on a previous show, so you can go and check that out. But I mentioned this story only to say we'll keep an eye on it. So we're going to get into the Context Machine now. And Jeff, I want to start with Apple's motivation in this settlement with Creative. I want to know where some of this is coming from. The immediate penalties I can see if Apple had allowed this to go on, if Apple and Creative had allowed this to go on, the immediate penalties for Apple would have been legal fees and I suppose the possibility of product injunctions, that their products might have been stopped at U.S. Customs, that they might not have been able to get into the United States, that Creative might have gotten Apple to stop distributing these products through its retail channels. those two issues, legal fees and injunctions or other holdups in selling product, those seem like the two prevalent reasons. Are either of those big enough reasons for Apple to pay $100 million to stop all this litigation?
I don't think so. And actually, I think what's going on is that there's a lot of levels at play here. And when you add up everything, including Apple's long-term plans, all of a sudden $100 million doesn't sound like that much money. But I think if they had pursued this as legal action all the way through the court systems, assuming the courts didn't rule against them and in favor of Creative, it would have cost Apple a lot less, and they would have run Creative into the ground.
That's because Creative, of course, wouldn't have had any protection for its own patents after that. Its patents would have had to be ruled invalid, presumably by some argument like prior art, the fact that the iPod was on the market before the Zen was, or some argument like that. But you're saying that the legal fees themselves, the court costs, would have been much less than $100 million.
I think so. And if they were going to be $100 million, I am so on the wrong line of work.
All right. Well, let's put this into that larger context. You're saying there's a lot of different levels at play. Talk a little bit about which levels you see, other than the immediate cost for Apple or for Creative. What are some of the other levels at play here?
Okay. Well, we have the potential that the courts could rule against Apple, or could have ruled against Apple. And if that was the case, all of a sudden Apple would have a really big headache, in that they would be in clear violation of Creative's patents. At that point, Creative could move for injunctions to keep the iPod from being brought into the United States. They could ask the courts to hammer Apple with extensive fees and fines for back licensing fees and future licensing fees. And then it just would have compounded out from there, I think. So by doing what Apple did now, which is take one for the team, in essence, they've actually set up a situation that might even be better for Creative, because now they validated Creative's patent, and Creative can now turn around and go to all of these other companies and say, hey, look, Apple's already paid us the fees that they owe us for their license. Now you have to pony up some cash too.
And now, this is the most fascinating thing about this entire arrangement to me. In a sense, this is a terrific moment of cooperation between two companies. First of all, it frees Apple from the perception. One of the legal analysts that Brad Cook interviewed said it frees Apple from the perception of being the monopolist.
Right. Right.
Not the word we normally associate with Apple, but certainly close to the case in the MP3 player market now, if not actually the case. So it frees them from that perception, because Creative is the one that holds patents. But now, like you said, Creative can go out and defend its patents with other companies like Sony and Microsoft, by the way, who's coming out with their own MP3 player, and others. And then the twist of the knife in this whole thing is that Apple apparently recoups some of its $100 million if Creative manages to go and do that.
Now, that's capitalism in action right there.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is. Now, the thing about the monopoly status, sure, Apple can be a monopoly with the whole iPod and iTunes thing, and there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. It's only a problem if they were to use that monopoly power to drive their competitors out of business, or at least out of the market. And I think paying this money to Creative so that they're licensing the interface technology helps Apple build a case that if anyone else were to come back and say, you are a monopoly and you're abusing your power, they can say, hey, look, we're paying the same fees as everyone else. Get off our back.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the one MP3 player that has been making the most news recently, other than the iPod, which is Microsoft's Zune player. And we saw these prototype pictures of it. How does that fit into the picture? The fact that Microsoft is getting into this business, is there a reason that Apple was more motivated to settle now that Zune is on the way? Do we have any reason to believe that that's true?
It could be. Of course, no one outside of a select few in Apple knows exactly what's going on with the iPod right now, just as they are with every other product they make. It's always a secret until it's announced. But it wouldn't surprise me if Apple has some big surprises up their sleeve for us. And by clearing up this whole creative patent thing, it totally clears the road for Apple so they can start bombing the rest of the market with new exciting products over the next few months. And being able to do that as Microsoft is coming out with their Zune player, that would be a really good thing for Apple.
So it just kind of clears the road. By the way, let's just ask that quick question. What do we think of this prototype picture of the Zune that we saw this week?
I don't like how it looks. There, I've just come right out and said it. I don't like how it looks. It reminds me of like the third generation 20 gigabyte iPods that were a little bit rounder, yep. But in a bad way. And it just feels to me like it's another case of Microsoft saying, well, what can we get away with copying? And this is what they've come up with. And I'm sure someone out there is going to hammer me in email by saying, Microsoft's not copying. They're coming up with their own product. And yeah, they do have some new features in the Zune that we haven't seen in the iPod yet.
Most namely the wireless connectivity.
Most namely the wireless. And there's also talk that the Zune will come preloaded with some music videos. And iPods currently don't have that right now either.
I will say when I looked at it, I thought, well, obviously it looks a lot like the iPod. It's very thin. It's got a nice white case. But I actually thought it looked pretty nice as a product. I mean, it's something that I would be perfectly happy to be seen in public holding. It doesn't look ugly, which is true of a lot of the MP3 players that have been on the market in the past.
That's true. It does not look ugly. It's just when I sit here and hold my nice little pretty white iPod Nano in my hand, and compare what the Zune pictures are to this, it just feels like they're going with last year's style.
So we'll have to see what next year's style is, presumably.
I can only wait. I'm excited to see.
All right. Well, a more important question here. What do we think about the AOL movie download service?
Well, I'm excited about the service, but not for the reason you would think. I'm excited because this shows that the Hollywood studios actually are signing the deals to allow their movies to be downloaded and streamed online. That's what I'm excited about.
This thing is really going to happen, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's happening today. And now that Sony has also purchased Grouper, Sony now has the technology so they can start doing their own streaming. So that's just another avenue where this is really starting to gel. Now, AOL's actual service, hey, I'm spoiled by iTunes, and the whole AOL thing just doesn't match up to what iTunes has to offer.
I was actually curious, have you spent any time at the site? Have you looked at it or tried to use it?
Yes, I have. Now, keep in mind, I'm using a Mac, so some of the features that you would be able to take advantage of as a Windows user, namely downloading a copy-protected movie, I can't do that. But the other things I can go and play with. And what I found is that it was actually kind of tough to figure out where things are. And when I thought I was in the movie download area, I was actually in some other movie trailer area. And maybe it's just that I'm a little slow. I don't know. But it didn't seem nearly as easy to navigate. And then I was really disappointed when I started watching the movie trailers, and I compared them to the same trailers I've seen at Apple's movie trailer site, which you can also see in iTunes. And I just felt, I felt like they were a year or two behind as well.
It is really interesting. I'm looking at the AOL website right now, and it's amazing to me when you go there just to the, you know, to AOL.com, it's entirely unclear where I'm supposed to go in order to go download these movies. You contrast that with the way Apple released a product. They say, hey, we've got music downloading now. You go to their homepage, and the entire page says, hey, check out this new product.
Right. Yeah, you could click with your eyes closed and still get to the right part of the site. On AOL, not so much.
Which is interesting. I mean, AOL obviously is a far more diverse company. They do everything. AOL Time Warner owns half of the world, as far as I can tell. So obviously they've got a lot more going on, but it is surprising to me. No idea. I mean, one would think that the first legal movie downloading service of this kind, which apparently is AOL's banner to wave, they're not doing that.
Yeah, and they're missing out on a really prime opportunity, because we know that Apple is coming along with their service and it's going to come out before too long. So if you're going to be first to market with this, you really need to do a bang-up job. Otherwise, as soon as iTunes comes along with its movie service, everyone's going to go over there, where it's better, it's faster, it's easier to use, and who knows, potentially even cheaper.
And it is interesting. I mean, I was going to ask you, does it matter that AOL beat Apple to the market? It sounds like you're saying it only matters if they do it right and if they capture a lot of market share before Apple manages to get into the game.
Exactly. And based on what I've seen at the AOL movie site, they're not going to capture that market.
Fair enough. And I guess that's going to have to be that depressing note for AOL will have to be the final word.
Yeah, sorry about that, AOL.
If you have questions or thoughts about the news, you can reach both of us at roundup@macobserver.com.
Okay, let's do the product roundup. Ricky, why don't you start us off?
Well, Adesso announced the immediate availability of a new USB keyboard and mouse for the Mac on Monday. The Slim Media Mini keyboard includes web and email hotkeys, multimedia controls, and two USB ports. The Blue Ice Optical Mouse offers a programmable scroll wheel and shortcuts for auto-scroll, connecting to the web, and zooming. The Slim Media Mini keyboard is priced at $30, and the Blue Ice Mouse costs $18.
And Otherworld Computing announced the immediate availability of the Mercury Elite AL Pro Striped RAID Zero on Tuesday. And please, can these companies start coming up with easier to pronounce names? Man, this drive is available in capacities ranging from 320 gigabytes, which will cost you $280, up to 1.5 terabytes, which will cost you $1,050.
And by the way, Jeff, I didn't tell you, we should do this product roundup three times fast.
Brilliant.
Trans International announced its new memory upgrade kits for the Mac Pro on Friday. They'll start shipping on Monday and will be available in capacities ranging from 2 gigabytes up to 16. Pricing starts at $500.
And finally this week, John Braun's Mac Gadget column looked at the Docutility to-dos. And that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Weekly Roundup.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer, including Mr. Gamut. Thank you.
That's me.
Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO. I'm going to be at the Podcast Expo September 29th and 30th. I'll actually be doing a panel on iPod economy. So the same kind of stuff that we're doing here about people making stuff. And apparently, creative will be part of the iPod economy. Who knew?
Who knew? All right, stay subscribed.
Until next week, everybody, we'll see you online.